I've spoke to other manufacturers about CNCs before I decided on my StepCraft. Do your homework. Look at StepCraft. Look at the other guys, too. You'll come back to StepCraft.
Welcome to the Think It, Make It podcast with your host, Eric Royer. All about turning your ideas into reality with a CNC router, tips and tricks, new products, interviews, and much, much more.
This just got exciting.
Whether you're using a CNC for business or hobby, we have great stuff in store for you.
All right, everybody. Today with me, I have Tony Donato and his son, Anthony Donato, both from, you're from New York. What?
Warwick, New York. Warwick, we're in Orange County.
So you're about 3 hours.
Miles out of New York City.
About 3 hours from us.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay. So Tony's been a customer of ours now for 2 years.
Since version one.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yes, yeah. For sure.
Actually, yeah, version one, huh? It's been really long time.
I think the 840 was version one.
No, the 840 was version two. You bought just after Kickstarter, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I bought. You guys were yes, yeah.
So yeah, we've had a long history together, and last year was the first time you came up to our facility and spent some time up here, and you've been up here quite a few times.
We have, yeah. We came up. We came up because we self delivered everything.
Right. Right.
So we came up for the 840 and visited you for every machine. We even brought home our own queue. God bless that day.
So right now, just to let everybody know, so you had what machines to start?
So I started with an 840, which didn't meet my needs because I was looking to do smaller projects. And the 840 was daunting for me. It was my first CNC.
Yeah.
So if you remember, you were nice enough to exchange because my machine was still new.
Yeah.
So we went from the 840 to 2600 so I can increase productivity.
Okay.
By that time, the black series had come out, and we went with a black and an orange. And then the Q series came out, and you were kind enough to work your magic through financing and whatnot. And now we have a Q and a 600. And we're happy. So I could use about another dozen 600s to keep up with work that the CNCs have been able to generate for us.
I'll have them on the loading dock ready for you. You just tell me when you're coming up.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes work doesn't always translate into huge profits.
Yeah, so this is true.
So we've done a lot of prototyping, a lot of work. We just got done doing a job for a community playground build.
Okay.
And what a rewarding project. And if it weren't for the CNCs, the project would have been stalled.
Yeah.
There was a lot of items that needed to be remanufactured, rebuilt, parts that were forgotten. So,
yeah, I saw your post on Facebook. We'll have to talk about that a little bit more in depth in a little bit.
Sure.
So you have a StepCraft Q204. So you have the 2x4-foot machine.
Yeah, with the 2,000 watt mill.
Yeah. Okay. So you got the 2.2 kilowatt spindle, and then you on your 600, your D600, you're using the laser, correct?
We use the laser predominantly. I also use the diamond drag. We do a lot of acrylic edgelet.
Oh, cool.
We've designed actually awards, acrylic edgelet awards. We just sponsored, like I told you, sometimes profit isn't there, but to get our name out there, we sponsor like school events. They had a fifth and sixth grade hoop shoot at our local elementary school, and we made edgelet signs on the 600. Wow. And we made the bases on the D. We used 2x4 oak, regular serious, not dimensional lumber, actual 2x4 cut oak from a mill. And we put it on there, and we cut the slot in it, inserted LEDs, and then put the edgelet sign in it, and they became awards. The kids freaked out because you normally get those plastic, you know, everybody looks the same shooting awards.
Yeah.
We made two little clip art mice. One was a girl. She had a pigtail, but they both had basketballs in their hand. They had basketball uniforms on. We were able to the precision of the 600, and the precision you can get on it is amazing. We were able to inscribe Hamiltonians on the chest of the basketball uniforms.
Oh, wow.
So they looked amazing. There's pictures up online.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look for them. Because what I'm going to do is create a show notes page for this episode. So everybody is listening right now can go if they're driving in the car, go to the website later and you could see some of the things that we're talking about. Because that's the worst part of an audio podcast. We're talking about really cool things. I can see you right now, but if you're driving in the car, they can't see us. So,
yeah, no, understood.
So
just know that they're the best looking things ever.
Yeah. So when you decide to get a CNC, are the StepCraft was your first?
My first ever, yes, yeah. For sure.
Okay, yep. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, I mean, what did you think of, what was the learning curve like? I see some of the stuff you're doing now is crazy.
Well, the learning curve on graphics was nothing because I've been in the graphics field since 96.
Yeah.
So I understood vectorization, which is the biggest learning curve, and learning how to make your own files rather than buying, vector files off of Etsy's or whatnot, or making your own STL files for 3D carvings. The learning curve was, thank God for your support. It was a slight learning curve, but the small things that you don't understand were well explained to me by Chris,
yeah,
and Greg, and you actually,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and even me. How about support. That?
All you need is a good understanding of computer usage. And you really do, if you did well in geometry, you'd understand it a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the problems, because I've actually, I don't know if you follow the forums, I try to support some new users sometimes.
Yeah.
And I find out a lot of the things is they don't understand X versus Y versus Z. So my first question when I talk to people is normally, do you understand axes?
Okay.
Because then things come into perspective for you.
Sure.
How to use the machine. The learning curve's simple. I could have somebody using one, as long as you know how to use a imaging program, I could teach somebody how to use a StepCraft in 10 minutes. They'd be able to do the StepCraft logo in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I usually tell people, half hour to an hour, I could get a brand new beginner on Vectric to do something, to create a project. Once you understand a few concepts, it's really not that hard. But as you grow, that's where it becomes really, learning more about feeds and speeds and work holdings and fixturing and all that stuff. That's where the real art of CNC comes in.
Understood.
it's a lot of fun. It's nice because it's one of those things I feel, and you probably could say the same, after all the years of doing it so far, you're still learning, I'm sure.
Oh, we are. And Anthony has some comments on the learning curve, because I'll sit there in Vectric and I'll create 25 files and I'll say, run this first, run this second, run this third. I'll send it over to him. Anthony will be setting the datum. He'll be mounting the hardware. He'll be zeroing the machine. And on the queue, of course, every morning we run the warm up,
mm-hmm,
so the machine's ready to go when it goes. And when we start our machine, it stops about 10 hours later.
Wow.
So we run project after project after project after project.
Every day you're doing that.
Yeah.
Just about
4 days a week.
Wow.
4 days a week, 10 hours a day.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, not really. The machine, I liken it to a 4-cylinder versus an 8-cylinder.
Yeah, sure.
You got the 220-volt mill. It doesn't even sweat. I did our longest project was 26 hours,
mm-hmm,
and it was straight running for 26 hours. I came in ever so often, and I used an air hose to just blow dust off that accumulated.
Yeah.
Shut the vacuum off for a little while, blow dust around. The mill wasn't even warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is amazing. I mean, 26 hours worth of milling. That's when we did that orange Paduk, the gazebo one.
Yeah, I remember seeing that online. Well, that's why we designed the Q machines is, to run production. That's what they were designed for. So it's, I'm finally, because it's still a new product for us here, we're finally getting customers that are running, 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And everybody's reporting the same thing. And I mean, we run the machine here, our original demo, that machine, it gets run an awful lot. And I'm not.
Well, I remember when you milled the table for my 600.
Right.
On the queue.
Right. Right.
You said, I'll be right back. I was like, what are you going to do? And you just did it and came back. And I think you took off like an eighth inch of off aluminum. The bed or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like amazingly fast.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys are only really using the machines for the business then? You don't really do personal stuff kind of?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, you do?
Excuse me.
That's
all right. Heck yeah.
It's okay.
Of course we do.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of different products that we make, but I also make gifts for friends. We made for our New Year's celebration this year a giant edge-lit sign, the biggest I could get out of the 600, mm-hmm. the biggest dimensions I can get. And it was an edge-lit sign that had Happy New Year's. Everybody that was at the party's name was on it. There was a nice Italian greeting about friends and family.
Wow.
And it was our centerpiece of the table. So, you know, wherever I go, one of the nicest things we like to do with the machine, we're very community oriented over here.
Mm-hmm.
We love being able to, you know, like somebody will ask, can you donate something to our tricky tray or raffle or something for the Elks or the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, whatever.
The firehouse.
Lots of things for the firehouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll go out and we make a lot of cutting boards.
Okay.
Hardwood cutting boards, black walnut, block, and things like that. We'll go out to Ollie's and we'll buy a bunch of bamboo cutting boards, the nice ones from Core, and we'll laser them up with, you know, whatever the town is or something. We make a lot of souvenirs and we just, you know, donate them to the community and stuff.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So, yes, business and pleasure for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So, speaking of business, what is the name of your guys' business?
You want to tell them?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's FM Designs.
FM Designs. I'm not even going to ask what that means.
No, but I'm going to tell you. You see, you can see it, but your audience doesn't know that my son and I are men of considerable girth. So FM stands for Fat Man. We thought it was cute and it's rememberable.
Yeah, you big fellas, we know it.
We know it. We got mirrors.
Yeah, that's funny, actually. That's pretty creative.
Yeah, I actually started because retiring from 911 with some mental issues after retiring, you know, after 10 years of being a 911 dispatcher, I started carving sticks by hand and walking sticks.
Yeah.
So I called them FM sticks, Fat Man sticks, because I would walk with them and I hike with it. It was very relaxing. And then people saw the sticks. They wanted the sticks. Before you know it, my son gets involved. And then I start looking for a CNC, and that's where you came in.
See, how about that?
Started looking to make different types of products other than sticks.
Yep. Yep.
And the first thing that came to mind was the CNC, and then we found your guys' product and moved on from there.
Yeah, I've always been a woodworker, but I can't cut a straight line until now.
No, that's great. How long ago did you start your business?
I would say June of last year, right? Because we opened June 6th last year with the Greenwood Lake, New York Street Fair. That was our first day of being able to show our products. And we had made earrings and all sorts of little wooden gizmos and souvenirs on the 600s that I had because we hadn't gotten a queue yet.
Okay. And do you guys have a website or anything? How are you finding your business?
We do. Easy enough. FMdesigns.us.
Okay.
So it's a family-run, family-owned American business.
Is this all you guys do? Is this your primary thing now?
It is. Yep. I'm retired, like I said, from 911. And my son and I, we're working at starting up our business. We're working hard at it.
Yeah.
We just came back. That's why I had to put you off a couple hours today. We just installed our first in-ground sign that we made on the queue.
Oh, wow.
We V-carved. I'll send you a picture later if you want to use it.
Yeah, definitely.
But we V-carved I forget what the name of the board is. It's marine-grade plywood with like a craft paper on it.
Okay.
It's signed substrate.
Yeah.
So we V-carved it. We designed it. And we put it – we channeled out 4x4 cedar poles, and we – sunk it in there. I mean, the stuff that a CNC allows us to do with precision allows us to pick up our game. Instead of putting a couple of fairing strips and brad nailing the sign to that and mounting them with, you know, deck screws, we were actually able to pocket out holes, pocket out a channel to make the sign fit precisely in. A little bit of wood glue and a couple of screws. That sign's there for the forever.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You got to send me a picture of some of the stuff that we've talked about because would like to put them online and share. I've seen, like I said, not everybody, I mean, obviously everybody who's listening is not going to be a friend with you on Facebook, but I know you share a lot of stuff. You also share stuff in the Crafters Club too, right?
I know
you're part of the owners group, but also the Crafters Club, which is more open.
I do. And once in a while, if I think it's applicable, I put it in for Step Craft Education.
Okay.
Yeah. I go in there and make posts. I frequent the boards. They're a wealth of information. There's a lot of good people out there asking serious questions that you actually need to know now. You want to keep going on your project. So I follow all the boards too.
I take a lot of pride whenever I see a customer that we've worked with, you know, so closely. When customers or new customers or beginners start to ask questions, I love it when I see, a customer like yourself engaging with the public because you know, I'm going to take a small amount of credit and say, you know, we did good getting you started.
You taught me to fish. So I can eat for a lifetime.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Well, I don't know if you remember, another one of your customers that, we both met him the day of the Secaucus Woodworker Show.
Yes.
Anthony from New Jersey.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. I chat with him quite often. He's making some cool stuff.
Yeah, he is.
For a newbie.
Yeah.
And then he was asking me 101 questions at the show. This guy is 3D carving already. Yeah. And it's only been, I think the machine went on his desk a month ago or less.
Yep. Yep. I know. It's amazing. Some people really progress
fast. And he's got the 840, right?
Yep. He has an 840. Yep. So what do you see with your business? Like where, especially you, Anthony, being that you're younger and everything, what do you see in the future for this? How do you think it's going to take off? Like, what are your big plans?
Well, so far, even just the last couple of months of progression using the machines, we just started more getting into 3D and all those different designs. And for a while, since pretty much the start, when we had our first machine, the smaller machine, we wanted to do that, you know, and as we're going through it, it was always we should do this, but we just kept putting it off because it was always the little bit of fear of, oh, I'm going to screw something up. Then finally we took the plunge and we're like, wow, that was really easy to learn. And this came out amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now we're moving in there and, you know, progressing into kind of the new field of that. And eventually we'll push ourselves into the next axis and doing, you know, different things like that. You know, that's our plan, at least.
Can't wait to put a fourth axis on my machine so I can do custom carved sticks. Because Anthony hand carved sticks, I got to pick up my game.
I can't wait to see what you guys do with a fourth axis on there soon. It's coming soon.
It's just taking the plunge.
We're waiting. And also, I'll ask you questions later. You ask me now.
Sounds good. Yeah.
3D touch probe for the Q.
Yep, we can do that. Yeah.
All definitely. Right. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I have a couple of family coats of arms that people want me to recreate for, like, can you make 7 of these for my brothers and sisters?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to be able to make them as accurate as possible.
Yeah, I can definitely help you with that. That's not a problem.
Cool.
Actually, while we're talking about that, so StepCraft, for those of you who don't know, StepCraft also has a 3D touch probe, which is it's a 3-axis probe that has a stylus on it. It's extremely sensitive. So what you do with it, you can use it to touch off edges of a material, the center of a hole. You can find it to locate. You can also use it to do a 3D point cloud. So you could take, like Tony's saying, with a coat of arms, and you could actually assign a grid, and it works kind of like a sewing machine. It'll go up and down. It'll keep recording every point that it hits. And then you take that 3D point cloud and you convert it into an STL file and then bring it into Vectric and you can carve it, turn it into a carving.
So and make it, another one and another one.
Yeah. It's a very good attachment to use for replicating stuff. It's not a fast process, but again, if you want to make a bunch of something, you only have to scan it once. So it works out well for that. But the easiest way to put it on your machine, actually any of our machines, the shank on it is actually 8mm. So all we need to do is get you, it's an ER20, I think. So an 8mm ER20 collet. And you could simply put it in the spindle as a bit. Just don't turn it on.
And, understood.
Yeah. Otherwise the cord will wrap up.
Too good. Yep.
But that's really all you need to do. You can use it like any other tool. Just plug it into the where the tool length sensor jack is. And it works.
Oh, okay. Now, not to hijack your conversation, but say I wanted to do a 24 by 48 piece of Lexan that was all etched up. Could I insert my diamond drag knife into a quarter inch collet on my machine and use the cue to do acrylic engraving?
Oh, absolutely. So the diamond drag knife. So the regular drag knife that we have has a 43 millimeter. That's for doing vinyl and stuff. You're talking about the...
I'm not talking about the drag knife. I'm talking about the diamond etcher.
The engraving point. Yep. So that's got an 8 millimeter shank on it as well. So the same thing. Okay. The easiest thing to do is go to Amazon, just order an 8 millimeter ER20 collet.
ER20 collet, okay.
Yeah, and then you just put that in and you put it in just like a regular bit.
You see, you just made me more money. Somebody wants an insert for their front screen door.
Okay.
They want to take out the glass that's in there. They want to put in Lexan, and they want to etch it with their name and a little bit of fun, niceness underneath.
Yeah. You going to edge light it?
No, this is, well, that would be cool.
That would be cool, right?
Yeah. That would be really freaking cool.
Yeah, because you could get tape.
The request did not come for an edge lid. It came for, can you engrave my door? I said, well, I could replace the glass with Lexan.
Sure.
And go from there. And they were like, yeah. And then when they gave me the dimensions, I told them, I was like, oh, I can someday, but today's not that day.
Oh yeah,
so
you
they're
can.
They're waiting. Now I know I could do it. I could do it.
Amazon Prime, you'll have one in 2 days.
Oh my brother. Thank you for that.
Yeah, no, it's very, very easy to do with
see
that.
How things come about with this. It truly is think it, make it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I now that I'm thinking about it though, we have to figure out a way to edge light this door insert panel, because that would be crazy.
It's simple. It's already simple. The way the glass sits, it sits in a U channel at the bottom. And the top just really leans in. And you know those little things with the little nubs? They're like little flanges that go over and hold it in? So that's it. So the bottom U-channel, you take the quarter-inch strip lighting.
Yep.
You lay it in there. You drill a little hole and bring out the two wires. And you put a little battery pack. They're LEDs. Three double A's will last LEDs if you turn it off every night, because most the battery packs that we buy have a 30-minute timer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put it on, I mean, how long are you going to really leave your front door lit?
Yeah, right.
You know, I got company coming. I'm going to turn it on.
Yep.
But my normal nights, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's going to be off.
There's a new business opportunity for you, my friend.
Look at that. Stepcraft, yet again, earned me money. You're just doing it because you want me to buy the 4x8 when it comes out.
We're actually in production on where we've got the first few being delivered.
Well, you don't think I talked to Bill? Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
This is true. So I know you probably got a better sense of what's going on than I do.
Don't know about that, but we're saving our pennies, because when that 4x8 comes out, when I could throw up a sheet of substrate 4x8 and make three signs at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So down the road, I mean, do you envision you guys having multiple of the Qs or multiple Ds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's always been a thought in our head. You know, even when we get into a lot of mass production projects that we've been doing,
mm-hmm.
like even working with the park, it's like, you know, we do one to two of the boards we've been working on at a time sometimes. And it's like, oh, we could have just thrown up five if we had, you know, a 4x8 machine.
Yeah.
and you know, so it's always been a thought in our head that, yeah, we would love to get the bigger machine when it comes out and have multiple machines going at once, projects.
For sure, because we do have more work and there's a lot of prototyping to be done. Mm-hmm. And we have actually May 18th in Greenwood Lake, we have what's called the Fake at the Lake.
Yeah,
it's a five-band concert. I don't know if you saw it
going by
on my timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're also going to be vendors there.
Okay.
My band is opening, but my son and I are going to have a table with our wares there, and we're doing a lot of music-related memorabilia. I'm cutting out little bears that are going to be Grateful Dead bears, mm-hmm. but everything is going to be a Greenwood Lake souvenir, because this is happening during the Hoboken Film Festival.
Okay.
At Greenwood Lake, and this is one of the components of this. It's going to be a great time. And like last time we went, we sold out of everything we made, and everything we make has to do with RCNCs.
Yeah.
There's really, other than Anthony's hand carvings,
right?
And even these, because we've crossed, we make stands, we make bases, we make trees for bears to hang on and things like that on the CNC. Yeah. We've made, I mean, I could go the list, what I put up, I got to go through all my photos. I have half my products that we made are not even up there. You think we make a lot of stuff. Wait until you see all the stuff we make.
Now, are you saving all your files, I assume, in some sort of organized way? So
I looked the other, yes, I have a file called CNC. I save my STLs separate from my vectors, separate from my cuts. I can go in there and I can make any product I've ever made again by loading the file. I've learned over the time naming conventions for the files, which I would implore everybody to use. Put in your file name the bit size, the size of the material you're using. This is for your cut file.
Right.
You don't necessarily have to do it for your carve file, which is your vectric file. You don't have to do it for that, but your cut file. So when months from now, when you see this text file that says Greenwood Lake Souvenir, you could throw it up on the bench because it says quarter inch upcut end mill. And of course, you've got to use your abbreviations.
Right.
Or it's Windows. You could write as much as you'd like.
Right.
But, you know, quarter cut, quarter up, quarter, 0.25, and EM 12 by 20, 12 X 24.
Right.
I know I put a 12 by 24 inch piece of plywood up there, and I use a quarter inch end mill to cut it out. So
what are you using for software? I mean, I know you're using Vectrex VCarve.
VCarve desktop, and we also have a older version of Aspire that I bought for vector projects that I did for graphics.
Yeah.
So it I would love to upgrade Aspire to the most recent version, but my old version is old. I think it's version 6.
Oh, wow.
But the reason I use it is I'm able to take like that Greenwood Lake gazebo that you see, the orange Paduk one. That was done from a photograph.
Okay.
Hugo taught me. Hugo, by the way, is an amazing person.
Yes, he is. We're lucky to have him.
He is. He's if everybody else is stumped, Hugo's like, I'll get back to you. 3 minutes later, he's got the answer. So
yeah, he doesn't rest until he finds a solution.
He's a very smart man. He taught me how to turn a photograph into an STL file in literally 3 minutes.
Wow. Yeah,
I had no idea of the capabilities of my software.
Yeah.
I went in there. I was able to do it. My first one looked like a moonscape or those crystal rocks that you used to grow in the water, you know, the crystal rocks.
Yeah.
That's what my first STL looked like. But then he said, once you do this, get back on Skype with me. And he walked me through smoothing it, refining it, changing gamma corrections on the initial file.
Mm-hmm.
But it really only took 3 minutes. All these things were click here, click here, click here, click there, do this, do that. And then before you know it, I was able to produce something. That item is for sale in our local garden market, Greenwood Lake Garden Market, for $180.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's the lower end. It wasn't 3D. It was a inlaid sign of the gazebo with sun behind it and four different kinds of wood. That sold for $260.
Wow.
So, and we're working, yeah. I wouldn't say with scrap wood, but we're working with pieces of wood that most carpenters and box makers throw away.
Yep.
Yeah, you look at the little pieces and you go, oh, what am I going to do with this? We look at those pieces and go, oh, man, I can make this, 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 and this out of that.
It's actually a chore finding enough to do because there's so much to do. I can't go on Etsy anymore because of everybody's STL files.
Yeah.
I want to carve everything, and everything's like a 40-hour carve.
Yeah, yeah.
But the things that come out are amazing.
So when you do your designs, are you designing stuff in Vectrex, or do you use a different software from your past?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends. I use Photoshop Creative Cloud.
Yeah.
I use Photo. I'm a Photoshop user since the original version of Photoshop.
Yeah.
But back in 1996, I think it was. So I use Photoshop to conceptualize a lot of things.
Okay.
And then because, you know, you have to vectorize, I use Vector Magic.
Okay.
Vector Magic is the most amazing vectorization program. I think it's very inexpensive too.
Yeah.
Vector Magic will allow you to take a line drawing and turn it into a vectorization and then import it into Vectrex. And two clicks later, you're cutting something out.
Yeah, that's
so
really cool.
You know, so I would say my flow of work is Photoshop, Vector Magic, Vectric, and then to the machine. Or straight from Vectric, because there's a lot of things that I do straight up Vector.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what you're doing. If you're doing a STL, you have to do a lot of visualization, conceptualizing, and gamma corrections, different things that you need a image program for rather than a vector program. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you need three components. You need to be able to have an imaging program, a vectorization program, and a, I guess you would call Vectric. I know it works with vectors, but that's more of a compilation program.
Right.
Because that's where you assemble everything.
Right.
You know, that's where you draw your cut files. That's where your tool paths are set.
Mm-hmm.
And Vectric is an awesome program because I found, and Anthony as well, I think he can contest, whatever you see in the preview window is what you're going to get on the wood. And it's dang close.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no major discrepancies. So you can actually see if something will work. When we got into 3D, it's cool, like how you can use, you use a large area clearance tool and then for your roughing path and then your finishing path, which I think there should be maybe choices to put more paths in there, like a really rough path and then a semi-rough path and then a medium rough path, mm-hmm. and then a finishing path.
Yeah.
Only to make the really skinny end mills, like the pinpoint 3D bits, to make them work less. Because it's rough when you carve something out and you go to do detail in an eye and you're using this pinpoint bit and it breaks.
Yep.
There went $70.
Yeah, what I'll usually do in a case like that is I'll use the roughing toolpath a couple times. So I'll set it up one time with, say, a half-inch end mill to really do the quick work. Then I'll switch down to like a 3/16, and I'll go in and I'll do another pass because Vectric will actually remember what it calculated the first time, and it'll remove only the remainder after that. And then you can go in with your ball nose and you're only leaving maybe 20 or 20 thousandths or so on there. So you can actually use multiple roughing passes.
Oh, okay.
And say
now, can you do the same thing with finishing passes so you can use a larger ball nose to get everything out? Because the one I'm talking about, I wish I had it in my hand.
Like a 30 second.
Yeah, it'll stick you like a needle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I want to do flat eyes when you do something like we're going to do dog pet portraits.
Yep.
I did one. Grab Oliver over there if you would. we want to do pet portraits. You know, for memorials, for if your pet's going to pass or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Anthony hand carves them, but this is my dog.
Okay.
Now I want to be able to get that expression. He's an easy one because he's a chocolate lab. He's all puffy and round and smooth.
Yeah.
But if you had a terrier, you'd want to get those little flecks in his beard and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
You know how they have that hanging, and you want to use the smallest ball nose you can, and it's again, you know, you're taking a chance if you're taking a lot of material off with the tiniest ball nose there is.
Look up rest machining, REST, rest machining for Vectric.
Rest machining.
Yeah, that up because that's exactly what you're talking about is you're going to come in with one end mill and then you're going to come back and do the difference with a smaller end mill and you can step down. I've done it a couple of times and it's on my list of project videos to do for tutorials.
Oh, by the way, your project videos are awesome.
Thank you.
They've taught me, I'm not just because I'm on a podcast with you either, bud.
I know. Trust me.
It's if everybody uses the resources that you have when you sign up to use a StepCraft product, you're good to go forever.
Yeah.
Between the support, the videos that are created, and also, while we're on software, I'm sorry, I forgot one key piece of software.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't guess it, I'm going to tell you. You got 3 seconds. Da, na, 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 na,
na. I guess. Oh, well, UCC.
G-Wizard.
G-Wizard.
Oh, my God. You want to save a bit? Use G-Wizard. You want to save your mill? Use G-Wizard.
Okay.
Because you need to know your speeds and feeds.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I forgot you were using that. That is a big difference.
Oh my God, I was milling out at 100 millimeters per second when I should have been milling out at 1,000 millimeters per second, and the speeds were, I couldn't believe how low the mill was running and performing better.
And you know, it's funny because you don't think that when you run and you think you're going to run at 50 millimeters a second and G-Wizard comes back and says, no, Tony, you really need to be 90. Your brain initially thinks, wait, this machine or the bit or whatever is not going to handle it.
That's right.
But it's working off of that chip load for that end mill. And once you put the chip load settings in there, it knows where that bit is going to cut most efficiently, and it tells you everything. And it doesn't always make sense to your conscious mind.
It made no sense to me at all for the first few times. I actually wrote to, is it Bob Wakefield? Warfield?
Warfield.
Yeah, what a great guy, too. Yeah. I wrote to him a few times questioning the settings. I said, brother, I got to be doing something wrong. It's telling me to run at 1,000 millimeters per second with a 1/8-inch end mill, and I don't even think it's spinning. Yeah. You know, it was ridiculous. It was like 12,000 RPMs. Yeah. Whatever the setting was, it made no sense to me. And he wrote back, he was like, trust the math.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, that's mine and Anthony's new, we use it all the time because there are just some things that don't make sense. But if you measure twice and cut once, and trust the math.
Yeah.
Freaking amazing the things you can do.
I remember when you came up here once with one of the D machines and we were having the justice discussion because there was something that wasn't cutting properly. And I ran some quick calculations and told you, you need to go faster. And I remember we both sat there perplexed like that.
Yeah.
Can't
like how
be
the
right.
This can work.
And as soon as we did it, that it ran great. And I think that was That's probably great. The last time you were here with the.
Yeah, I think you had the beta of G-Wizard. It wasn't even, it was released. I think it was the RC1 maybe released Canada 1 or something. And you were offering kindly to run speeds and feeds for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd that work for you?
good. Yeah, it was a good idea. Everything's a good idea until it's not, right? we use it a lot. And now, what tooling are you using primarily? Are you an Amana fan or?
I use Amana fan. I use Orange Tool. I'm an Amana fan.
Yeah.
I use Orange Tools a lot for my rougher bits.
Yeah.
Orange Tool makes this 3-flute. 1/2-inch chip breaker or something.
Yep.
Oh my God. And because we make, we do 420 wood products as well.
Yeah.
We make, serving trays.
Yeah. I gotcha.
We make different things like that. We need to remove a lot of material.
Yeah.
And on the Q can do it. Oh my God. Can the Q do it? I can cut in black walnut, which is a pretty dense wood. I can cut 1.5 inches deep, let's say 12 by 9,
mm-hmm.
in about 4 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. The chip breaker is a crazy bit that a lot of people don't think about because chip breakers are really common in the metalworking for roughing, but you don't think about it in woodworking, but it's actually like a aggressive, like a chainsaw.
Oh my God, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Since we switched that bit too, we've saved ourselves on having to get bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we were pocketing, you know, trays out. We were pocketing them with a 1/4-inch upcut end mill.
Yeah.
And they do great. I mean, it's a 15-minute mill versus a 3 or 4 minute mill.
Yeah, exactly.
But still in all, I know I was putting a lot on the bits.
Yeah.
Because we work with a lot of black walnut. We work with oak a lot. We work which
cherry.
Cherry. Oak is one of the softer woods we work with.
Mm-hmm.
We actually work with a lot of ipe.
Okay, that's really hard.
Ironwood.
Yep.
So we're for the most part milling something that's harder than aluminum. Because the ipe, I think if I remember the hardness scales, oak was in the tens of thousands, ipe was in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, it's a
on
really,
the hardness scale.
Really dense wood, yeah. You don't want to gnaw on it with your teeth, you know.
No, for sure. And you don't want to get hit in the back of the head with a board by it either.
This is true. Where are you getting your wood? I mean, some of that wood, especially ipe, where like that's not an easy thing to find around here. You have
It actually is. I'll blast them out. Kuchen Brothers Lumber. Okay. They're around our area.
Yeah.
They stock it. It's actually a deck board.
Really?
Yeah. It's nominal cut. I mean, you get 5/4. 5 1/4 by 1 1/4 deck board. and it's got the rounded edges. So the first thing we do is take off the rounded edges mm-hmm. and make it a 5-inch piece of wood. Mm-hmm. And so you got 5-inch by 1.25 inches. By 1.05 mm-hmm. inches thick. And we make outdoor signs with it, like to hang up on somebody's cabana. I actually made a cigar box out of it and then lined it with cedar. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of things. So Ipe comes from Kukin. That's where we get that. We like to shop local. We're local shoppers. We happen to be in a great part of the world that not only has the big boxes, but we have lumber yards.
Yeah.
Rowe Brothers Lumber in Florida actually has, they're an old school lumber yard. They've been around since 1919, I think. Mm-hmm. They actually have wood that was cut, dried, and sawn on their parents' land. Because the grandparents owned it, and then when the younger generation took over for the old, you know, how the torches passed, the younger generation found one of the old barns in the back, thousands of feet of oak, cherry, black walnut, mahogany.
They had some type of their own wood, too.
It was all cut on their land, which was 10 miles away from where we were buying it.
Wow.
And so the new people came in, they remilled everything, regraded it. And I have a target-rich environment here.
Yeah.
But for my exotic woods, I go to Alderer down in I actually met them at the Secaucus show that you clued me in on.
Yeah, yeah.
Alderer down in Pennsylvania. They're about 1 hour and 15 from us.
Yep.
They have amazing they have African Paduk, they have
Purple Heart.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a local guy who goes down and gets the cutoffs. Down in Pennsylvania. So we'll get like 3-inch thick black walnut, oak and stuff that have come from live edge tables that people made. And these are the cutoffs.
Yeah.
And the cutoffs will mill into things like, you know, the dog portrait. We'll make 18, 24 by 36 inch cutting boards. We'll make things like, I'm going to get this. I know the podcast can't see this, but this is one of, remember I met my brother this year?
Yeah, yeah.
You can see the 3D bear on it?
Yeah.
So this is a charcuterie board. He'll put this down and they'll put all, you know, salami, ham, and all that on top of this.
Now, what kind of wood is that?
A charcuterie board.
Charcuterie,
yes. Okay. Huh. It's like antipasto on a big board when you're having a party.
Well, yeah, but what material is it made out of?
Black walnut.
That's black walnut. Okay.
Yeah,
so that had to be, what, 12 by 40, something like that? Give or
that
take?
It's actually 13 because that's the widest my surface planer will take.
Gotcha.
Until I learned how to surface plane using my Q.
Yeah.
Which we can get into.
Yeah.
But, it's 38 inches long. So you were close.
Yeah, I was close. Not bad over a webcam. Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. And there's five different bits used on this. Boy, I wish I had a
tool changer
for this one. Yeah. But we've learned how to make that work for us. So we used two different ball nose for the bears. We used two different V carves for the words. And it has, you know, a sentiment written in Italian, since we're Italians. We're Americans, but of Italian heritage. Mm-hmm. Let me clear that up. And we used a surfacing bit to do the outside. It was actually a Roman OG, much like you were talking about the using with the bearing.
Yeah.
And I ran it manual to do the outsides.
I believe we also used the breaker bit with that one, too. When we were starting in the edge of it, so different bits.
When this was a giant piece of edge, live edge stuff, we actually used that Orange Tools breaker bit I was talking about to prepare the wood for finer work.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think along with knowing how to use a CNC, if you're going to do woodworking, you have to have a basis in woodworking skills.
Right.
You know, you can't. The CNC is not going to make you a cabinet maker, but it will allow you to progress to that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
And knowing how to do, like you said, you're talking about a planer, knowing how that you can put 1.25 inch or 2-inch surfacing bit on there. You can use the, the machine, the CNC, to act as a planer. So you don't necessarily need multiple Absolutely. Tools.
We find that we bought some wood and we stored it improperly. Mm-hmm. It was actually the Purple Heart. And so there went $125 4-foot piece of wood,
yeah, right.
twisted sideways because I stored it on edge. And it was right by, we have a basement shop. So it was right by one of the air registers. So it was getting blasted. It was almost being kiln dried again, right by there. So it twisted. So we can put that up on the machine. And if you put it up, you could actually, you know, it goes doink, doink, doink back and forth because it's so twisted. You crib one side with some blocks and whatnot, make it nice and tight, surface that side. Now you have a flat starting surface, flip it over, use a lot of material. You lose a lot of material, but I didn't lose the board.
Right. You could use the board for something. Yeah.
That's right. I couldn't have done that on my surface planer. My surface planer would have made that twist nice and flat. And then you flip it over, makes that twist nice and flat, but it's still twisted.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm a big fan of scraps. So anywhere I go, there's a local plastic company. I go over there and they throw away like 3, 4, 5 inch pieces of HDPE or Isatel or something like that. And I grab all that. I'm like, hey, you're just throwing this away? Yeah, because you never know what a little scrap of hardwood or a little scrap of plastic or even metal is you're going to be able to create out of it.
Well, here's something that I'm sure your clients have done it, but anybody clued you in? Trex. The plastic engineered lumber.
Yep.
Oh my God, for sign materials. After working on this playground project, community built again, we made carrots because they had storefronts that they wanted to do. We made carrots out of Trex. Actually, it was Evergreen. I think it's a Trex product.
Evergreen,
that's what it was. And all this plastic engineered lumber works like, it was like, wow, was this stuff made to use on a CNC?
That's like butter.
Oh my gosh. I thought it was going to be really, I did my G Wizard and I was like, hell no, this ain't going to work because it didn't have a listing for Trex.
Right.
So I cut the dimensions in half. Before you know it, I was up to the, what is it? The S factor.
Mm-hmm. Well, here I am.
I'm speeding up my table already. I'm going 200% because I thought it was, I didn't trust the math.
Yep.
So if I trusted the math, I was able, we were doing, let's say leaves, apple leaves to put on the apple treehouse of this thing. We were cutting out 26 leaves. They were 2.5 by 3.5 in general dimensions out of a 5.25 by 48 inch piece of Trex. Mm-hmm. Once you start it, maybe takes 11 minutes to cut that whole piece out. And we're talking all curved cuts. Mm-hmm. Think of an apple leaf. You don't have time for it to run at 1,000 millimeters per second. It's running at like 25 to 30, and then it'll hit a flat spot and go a little faster, mm-hmm. or rather a straight spot.
Yeah.
But it cut this stuff out like butter. It was amazing.
Now, did you paint it?
The Evergreen we did paint.
And how is it?
I'm sorry. The Evergreen we painted. Okay. You have to use a specific primer on it,
okay.
But it's paintable. The plastic lumber that most of the place was made out of was just, we made height charts. Yeah, I don't know if it was PVC, but it's plastic engineered lumber. It looks like lumber, many different colors. We made, here, take a look at this. I'm going to push you up there. We made that out of it. That's a wind chime.
Okay.
Out of all the plastic lumber. I don't know, did you see it?
Yeah.
So this engineered and plastic lumber that we have has really opened up a whole new world for signage.
Yeah.
You know, somebody wants an address sign on their house. You can make it out of wood. You can spend hours and hours shining and sanding and varnishing, or you can make it out of plastic and say, here's your sign.
Yeah. The one I've got a project that I have to do, I've got to make 20 signs for our archery club. And I'll have to send you the file so you can see what I'm talking about. I wanted to do that out of the engineered wood, the plastic wood, but I have to paint it. So I'm trying to find out, you know, does it paint well? And if so, what do you need to use for primer on that? Because it would be a lot nicer to make these things because they'll last forever. They're never going to rot.
for sure.
But I don't want the paint to be flaking off after one rainstorm, you know?
Not with the, I'll send you the product tag. I'll take a picture of the product.
Yeah, I'll share it on the show notes for everybody too. Yeah.
Now the playground company, Play by Design, busier than a one-legged man, you know, like they have so much business. I think he said I could not take on new business for another 10 years.
What they do is they send
four guys to a community and you get 500 volunteers. You build a playground in a week.
Yeah.
And this playground is ADA accessible. Bedridden child could play in this playground.
Mm-hmm.
They actually have baskets that you could put a child that can't get in himself in.
That's cool. They
have a zip line and a swing and a xylophone you can roll under with a wheelchair. So I wasn't aware of it because thankfully none of my family's handicapped to the point where they needed a chair. But I never realized that a child playing on something at a playground with a wheelchair, say, you know, those xylophones that they have at outdoor playgrounds,
mm-hmm.
most of them can only play with one arm because they have to roll up sideways to it.
Right.
Because they can't fit under it. These are made at a specific height, so a person in a chair can roll under it and use both hands. Same things with the talk tubes.
Yep.
They don't have to roll up to the talk tubes sideways. They can roll up. They can play just like another child in the another child in the park. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is.
And I gotta let you know, StepCraft was a huge part of Warwick's build. Yeah. Huge. Without you guys, they would still be building because they would have had to wait for parts. That I just said, hold on, I'll be right back. Let me go make that on my CNC.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's awesome to hear. Like it really is.
I felt like King Cole.
As you should. Hey, you're a StepCraft owner. You should feel nothing but, right?
Oh, I do, man. Let me tell you. My StepCrafts are happy machines.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I just a couple of follow-up things. So the biggest – what's – if you – I guess right now, what do you consider to be like your biggest challenge? Do you have any that is like something you want to overcome with your CNC or take it to the next level?
Well, we did discuss the touch probe.
Yeah.
Which isn't really taking it to the next level, but it's allowing us to do more.
Sure.
It's allowing us to offer more.
Yeah.
One of my challenges is focusing. I can make everything
mm-hmm.
and I want to. We will be bringing it to the next level with the fourth axis. Multiple machines, more capabilities, more hours in a day.
Yeah.
Our biggest thing right now.
He's right. We have so many ideas, want to make so many projects. I want a queue that I can put up on a 60-hour mill while I'm making 20 other projects on my other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I need multiple machines, to the lords of financing he spoke.
Well,
we discussed my laser needs.
Yeah.
If I had unlimited funds, I would have a big shop that had multiple 4x8s.
Mm-hmm.
I still find the reason for the smaller machines for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The big machine. Why do you want to start up a big machine to do, a refrigerator magnet?
Right.
Which exactly. We do, by the way.
Yeah.
We do a lot of souvenirs for our local shops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's huge. I mean, people love seeing their own stuff. And we're from Greenwood. We live in Warwick, but we're from Greenwood Lake, New York. It's a beautiful resort town.
Mm-hmm.
So we have visitors that love buying this stuff. We're extremely excited. I mean, your tagline of think it, make it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, what that has done to our minds.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to, it's hard to focus because we can make everything.
Yeah.
It's what do I want to make today is really a thought in my head.
Yeah.
We have a lot of projects that we prototype because we want to be able to offer them to people.
Mm-hmm.
We have this rock fest coming up that we're going to be vendors at. So for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be making Greenwood Lake boards, fake fest boards.
Edging into ukulele.
We went to a garage sale this weekend looking for guitars that were for sale, old guitars. So we're going to etch in Greenwood Lake Rock Fest on this brand new little ukulele I found.
That's cool.
And sell it. Yeah. I mean, it's It's just leave it to your imagination what you can do.
I'm surprised you haven't done a guitar yet, because you're into music too. So,
well, here's the thing. I want to do a guitar. I want to do it right. Mm-hmm. I'm working on Vetric plans for like an epic guitar. Mm-hmm. Not as cool as the Spider-Man guitar that you and Chris made.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
But it's going to be a replica of my buddy's 68 Gibson custom, Les Paul custom, ebony and ivory. It's a black guitar with ivory frets and a white banding around it. Mm-hmm. So that's my first one's going to be a Gibson Les Paul.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, man, it's going to be functional, obviously. I'm trying my buddy's, the reason I want to make this one, his son borrowed his guitar and broke it. Mm-hmm. So I want to take his pickups. I want to take his volume switches. I want to put everything in the guitar. I wish if he didn't break the neck, I would use the neck from his old guitar. But now I have to mill one out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, as you know, because you made one, to make a functional guitar is not hard, but you want to get it right the first time because there's a lot of resources. You know, you're not using crap material for it.
Well, once you have the programs too, you can make as many as you like.
Well, yeah, of course. I don't think Gibson would be happy if I started selling.
No, probably not. But you know,
to give the best man in my wedding, my friend since seventh grade, a guitar that reminds him of the one that he loved that his son accidentally broke, of course. Mm-hmm. But to be able to say, "Hey, here's your guitar, play it," would be really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're coming up on an hour, so I guess the big thing, just to wrap it up, I mean, any advice you would give to somebody who's just starting out, like is just looking to get a CNC, what would you tell them?
Do your homework for what you need. Yep. Start off with what you need. Don't buy a bunch of bells and gizmos and talk. Not because we're on StepCraft. I've spoke to other manufacturers about CNCs. Before I decided on my StepCraft. Do your homework. Look at StepCraft. Look at the other guys too. You'll come back to StepCraft. Mm-hmm. Because one of the reasons, I mean, your support is top notch. It's ridiculous. You can't get support on 3/4 of the CNCs out there because they're, quite frankly, from a foreign country. Mm-hmm. That you have no American support. Not that that's a horrible thing. It's just the support's non-existent with a lot of machines. Unless you want to spend $60,000-$70,000, you know, and support. I can't get it. You buy a product for $10,000 and they want to charge you another $1,000 to talk to you for the year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I get support as a resource for a business, but I'm spending a lot of money on a machine. I like the way you guys do it. By the way, the callback system works fantastically.
Yeah, that's you. I mean, you know, and you and I have talked about this in great length.
For sure.
Support is my number one concern. I mean, you know, to get somebody to buy a machine is not necessarily hard, but I'm not looking for a customer that we sell a machine to and then forget their name. I'm looking to build a relationship like we did with
you and I have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and, sure. You know, that's what my vision is. That's what I've been doing now for over 5 years here. And, and I appreciate working with you and, getting to know you and all your help online, helping our customers, it means a lot. I really, from the bottom of my heart, I mean that.
StepCraft's not only a product. I found it's a good community of folks.
Yeah.
Because not just the people in your building, but the people that bought stuff like myself. You're right. I was helped by people, and I'll help people.
Yeah.
And people that I've helped, I see them answering questions. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it really is.
Is it Jessica? Was it Jessica? Who was the young lady who was doing the laser work?
Yes.
We all helped out a little bit. Do you see the stuff she's making now?
Crazy. I know.
Young lady, she's taken off. She did a real good job. And she really only had 101 questions. And it's really a push button operation.
Yeah.
So my advice to everybody is buy a StepCraft. Because at worst, Eric will give you his phone number at one point, and if you have a problem, you give him a call.
This is true. This is true.
For sure. It's a quality product. It delivers what it advertises, for sure. And then some.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm excited. I really am. Every day I look and I see the different things you post, and it makes me smile because it's nice to see a customer that, you know, we've worked with so hard over the years to you know, build a business, and you're doing it with your son. And, you know, I'm very close with my kids, and
absolutely,
you know, and my son actually works here with us too. And, you know, I'm proud of that.
We've been up there when your son was working there, so I don't think it was that long ago.
No. Yeah, no, he's here during the summer mostly, but he works mostly evenings.
So when my 4x8 is delivered, is he going to bring it to me by helicopter?
Airplane first, then we'll worry about helicopter. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Anthony, Tony, thanks so much. And I look forward to, as always, continuing conversations in the future.
Yeah, for sure, brother. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Think It, Make It podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more great CNC router content.